Welcome to Shine.fm's A Closer Look podcast, going a little deeper into the hearts and lives of the artists you hear on Shine.fm.
Hey, it's Jason Gray. How are you?
I'm doing well.
So how are you handling the quarantine life?
I think I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, like I wish that at the beginning of it, I would have started keeping a journal, because it's been an interesting journey, you know. Anxiety, fear, loneliness. This is a gift. peace. And it would be interesting to be able to look back on it and see if there was any kind of patterns that emerged of the roller coaster or whatever. So, but mostly I'm experiencing it as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to be so like optimistic, you know, like I know for many people it's painful and frightening, you know, but when I say it's been an opportunity for me, I mean, like most of us, I've been stripped of the things that I normally occupy myself in order to hide from, I don't know, my loneliness, my fear, you know. Mm-hmm. Like if I keep busy, then I don't have to think about these things that I keep, you know. But now I haven't had a lot to distract myself from that existential ache. So I decided very early on, I thought, I'm just going to have a conversation with that existential ache and see what happens. So an example is, like a lot of people, I'm very anxious about my income. I mean, my work has dried up, you know, and who knows when people will want to go to a concert again, you know? So I feel very anxious about that. And my instinct is to preach hope to myself. Mm-hmm. And there isn't anything wrong with that. And that's a good thing to do. But I realized maybe I shouldn't be in a hurry to do that, because maybe I would be using hope to ease my anxiety rather than to have any kind of like truthful engagement with it, you know? And what if I just, what if I was curious about my anxiety? I might discover that underneath that first layer of anxiety is actually the fact that I don't know if I trust God to be my provider. And if I dig beneath that, it may be because, well, maybe it's because I've experienced some disappointment with God, and I have some resentment in there, and maybe I should deal with that, you know? So when I say it's been an opportunity, I mean, it's been an opportunity to dig down deep and not hide from things. So how about you?
Oh, you know, it's a lot of the same thing. I have been keeping a journal because I want to be able to look back and see like where I was, like how I was feeling, what I was struggling with, and yeah, you know, juggling work and school, because it's my senior year. So trying to, you know, handle all those feelings of college not being the same anymore. So, you know, there's up and down days.
So, when did you start with the journal, or were you already journaling?
I've already been journaling, okay, but especially like right after, because I had come home from a trip for spring break, and that like right after we got back is when everything just started affecting the U.S. And so I was like, okay, we're going to journal about this. So like, you know, in my journal, it's like, okay, day 31 of quarantine. So, you know, it's interesting to see the process and, you know, how some days are different than others, or the frustrations and what I'm learning, trying to figure out, okay, you know, a lot of it is control. Perfectionist Megan is not having a lot of this.
Sure.
So
have there been any patterns that you've recognized now? Like, oh, on Tuesdays at 3 p.m., I get a little cranky or anything like that? Or
Not yet. I mean, that would be something to actually like really look back on each day and try and figure out. I think a lot of it has to do with control, because like when things when I was not living at home, things were, you know, I could control my schedule. I could do this and this and this, and I could have quiet when I wanted it. And so now it's just different, you know, living with my family, and I love them, and I'm so thankful that I'm here with them. It's just a lot of different, like, adjustments, letting go of that control, knowing, okay, they aren't perfect right now, and they're not going to be. So that's a lot of what I have to go through right now.
It's very revealing, isn't it? Like this thing that we're going through, and I don't mean that, like, even that, like, I heard a blogger complaining that some of what she's heard people say is along the lines of, all this negative stuff that's coming out of you, it was there all along. That was the crap that was in your soul all along. And like, so I don't mean it like that, you know, but it is interesting when we are stripped of the things that we normally use to occupy ourselves. Mm-hmm. And in my case, and a lot of ours too, the things that I use to keep other things at bay, when that's gone, it's like, okay, well, maybe I got to deal with this a little bit, you know, and
right,
that could be helpful. So yeah, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but, I do have a speech handicap, so, so it's not glitching.
Oh, no.
I'm glitching. I've glitched my whole life, so.
Well, I mean, so many people enjoyed, just having you to be a part of the Brant and Sherry Misfits tour. And so, I remember, I didn't meet you personally then, but hearing your story then. But as a little transition, I mean, right now I think a lot of people are relating to the story of Job. And so I've been reading it a little bit, but that's also kind of the heart behind Remind Me You're Here. So are you finding that that's a song right now that, I don't know, that's bringing you comfort or bringing your fans comfort?
I hope so. The interesting thing about Job and what I was trying to communicate in a 3.5 minute pop song, which it's hard to get all this in there, but like, for those of you who might be hearing this who haven't heard of the story of Job in the Bible, you should look it up. It's one of the most remarkable writings, like, in all of humanity. It's just remarkable. But you've got this guy Job. He's a good man. Catastrophe strikes. He loses everything, and then he's sitting in the dust, grieving everything that he's lost. His friends come over to comfort him, and they do a pretty good job until they start talking, right? And then they end up being lousy comforters because they end up in an argument with Job. Job is asking God, I was a good man. I was doing my best to be a good man. How could God allow such awful things to happen? And his friends were like, well, you know, because God is all powerful and because he's always right, that must mean that surely you did something to bring this on yourself. Okay, so they argue about this for 36 chapters, right? Before God shows up on the scene and joins the conversation. And then once he does, there are three things that I find so interesting. One is that when he shows up on the scene, well, he doesn't answer any of their questions. But he does commend Job for Job's honesty and truthfulness. But Job's comforters, he rebukes them. Like, they get the worst of it, right? Mm-hmm. And this is interesting because these are the guys who are saying the things that a good religious person is supposed to say, right?
Right.
And they are defending God's honor and being appropriate, you know. And they're the ones who get scolded to the point where it sounds like God wanted to crush them, right? Because he said, you've not spoken the truth about me. Only Job has spoken truthfully about me. Ask him to make a sacrifice for you, and I won't treat you as your foolishness deserves, which it sounds like I want to, you know. So I think that's interesting, because I think as believers, we, a lot of the time, I think we might be afraid to voice our anger with God or our disappointment or to demand that he answer us, you know?
Right.
But I think in the story, we see that God values that. Because of course, I think what God wants most of all with us is intimacy. And we can't have intimacy with someone else unless we are honest and right. open. And if we are behaving like we should and only saying the things we should say and afraid of being disrespectful and walking on eggshells, there's no intimacy in that. So I think that God wants to bring our anger to him, even if our anger is, I would say if you're angry with God, don't worry about whether or not it's accurate. The accuracy will work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the anger, work it out with God, you know? So that's one of the things I learned in the story. But then the other thing is it ends with this beautiful moment where, okay, because when catastrophe hits Job, he can't help but ask, why did this happen? And I think when we go through difficulty, we want to know why, and that's appropriate, and we should ask the hard questions. But at the end of the story, it's revealed that that answers weren't what Job needed or wanted the most, right? Because he ends with saying, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. And what I take away from that is that we think we want answers, but really we want to be held.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that experience. I've gone through some very painful catastrophes of life where the questions of why keep me up at night, like I can't stop asking it. But answers rarely bring comfort or peace, but a sense of God being present always accomplishes that, right? And I remember it's times where I'm curled up in a ball on the bathroom floor at 3 a.m. crying out to God. And no answers came, but when I had a sense that he was there curled up with me, that then the questions didn't matter anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what the song is trying to communicate. It's okay to question, be authentic in your anger and your questioning, and also recognize that what we desire the most is to be held.
Thank you so much for sharing today.
Yeah. Thank you for wanting to talk with me.
Thanks for listening to A Closer Look. For more content like this, subscribe to the Shine.fm podcast channel from Olivet Nazarene University.